Church. Welcome to Biker Sunday. This is our first ever Biker Sunday. It's kind of a twofold thing for us. It's to sort of introduce maybe some of you to our men's part of our men's ministry called Brothers First Motorcycle Ministry. I think we've been doing this about 5 years. We've got about 20, 25 guys who are part of that. We've even got his ladies, which is some of these guys' wives and significant others, and they also meet together and have a good time. So if you're interested in that, and if you know some bikers, or if you're even a guy and you just want to come to be a part of a group that's really service-oriented and trying to serve not only our church, but also the biker community and then just the community in general, come talk to a guy that's got one of these vests on today. And we would love for you to come back and have lunch with us at about 11:30, quarter to 12. We'll be done in here, and we'll head out there for lunch together. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 14. And if you didn't bring a Bible, you'd like one, these guys would be glad to hand you a Bible, and you can kind of follow along there. Let me, while you're getting to Mark chapter 14, let me just mention, again, small groups starting this week. If you've not been in a small group, or if you haven't gotten signed up this season for a small group, now's the time. They're just now organizing. I think we have about 18 different groups that meet all over the community in different places. And so if you haven't found one yet, you'd like to come see me, talk to Micah, go on our website, go to the small groups page. I think you can go to the QR code on the back of the chair in front of you, and there is a link there to our small groups page, which will take you to a link or a place where you can sign up or ask questions about it. So, Top Gun, how many of you have seen both the original? You've seen the new one. How many have seen the original Top Gun and the new one also? Okay, who's seen just the old one? Who's seen just the new one? Okay, not as many. So, all right, let's do a little informal poll. Raise your hand if you've seen both and you like the original one better, back in 1986. Okay, raise your hand if you like the new one better. Okay, raise your hand if you just generally think Tom Cruise is a nut. Yeah, okay, that's kind of where I am. If you haven't seen it, here is kind of the plot of the new Top Gun. After more than 30 years of service as one of the Navy's top aviators, Pete Maverick Mitchell is where he belongs, pushing the envelope as a courageous test pilot and dodging the advancement in rank that would ground him. When he finds himself training a detachment of Top Gun graduates for a specialized mission, the likes of which no pilot has ever seen, Maverick encounters Lieutenant Bradley Bradshaw, call sign Rooster, the son of Maverick's late friend and radar intercept officer, Lieutenant Nick Bradshaw, a.k.a. Goose, or better known as Dr. Green from ER. Remember that? So facing an uncertain future and confronting the ghosts of his past, Maverick is drawn into a confrontation with his own deepest fears, and it culminates in a mission that demands the ultimate sacrifice from those who be choosing to fly in it. Now, I don't know. It's if you like the movie, you like it. We're not going to spend a lot of time dissecting the movie, but I do like it as sort of a jumping off point. But I do want to sort of introduce you to something that maybe you do or didn't know about our church family. We have we have a guy in our church. I don't know if you know that he had sort of a Top Gun moment. And this week I did a little interview with our very own Maverick. Let's watch this video.
Hey, I'd like for everyone to meet Daniel Whitehead. He and his family have been a part of our church for, Daniel, what, maybe 10 years or so?
Yep.
Has it been that long?
I think just about there, a little more.
Okay. And you guys are, originally you're from where?
We met in Texas and moved to Georgia and kind of a little everywhere. Military.
Okay, very cool. So tell everybody what you do for a living now.
I'm a captain at Cherry Point Fire Department.
Tell us about the Top Gun experience you had a couple years ago.
The Blue Angels came to town for the air show. They selected people in the community who had a lot of interaction with youth volunteering. And I had just been selected Marine Corps Fire Paramedic of the Year. And so I'd done a lot of coaching for the YMCA for T-ball, flag football, Boy Scouts, and a few other sports, and I was able to be put in the group for everyone else, and I was selected.
That's really cool. Was there any like prep to it? Did they teach you how to deal with, like, I don't even know if this is right, G-forces? I don't know. What did you do to get ready for this?
I watched a lot of YouTube videos on how to handle G-forces.
Well, let's get clear. So the range, Dan, we're going to do what's called a G-warm exercise, okay? We're going to accelerate. All it is just to see how your body's going to handle the Gs today for the flight.
Because pilots don't wear any G-suits, so it's all about themselves because of the closest they fly. They can't have the G-suits inflating and changing their hand grip, so...
Gotcha.
And at three and then at four, we're just going to talk about how your body feels, okay? All right, here we go. There's two. How's that feel? Feel okay? All right, here comes three. How's that feel? A little heavier? All right, here comes four. How's that feel?
So you did a little bit of training. They talked you through a couple things. You did some YouTube training. What did you eat before you went up?
Oh, you'll see.
Would you do it again if you had a chance?
I'd love to say absolutely so.
That's cool. That's really cool. Well, Daniel, thanks for doing what you do for a living and serving the community and serving our country the way you have for your career. And thanks for sharing your Top Gun Maverick moment with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I actually thought Daniel did really, really good. I'm pretty sure I would have passed out like right on takeoff, and I know I would have lost my lunch. So he did great, and I appreciate him being a good sport and letting us show that. But that's a pretty cool experience, right? I don't know that I would have accepted it. I probably would have and then regretted it later for all of the reasons I just described. But what a cool opportunity for he and others, I guess, around the country when the Blue Angels come to town. But pretty cool that we've got a real live Maverick in our midst every Sunday, so it's kind of neat. You know, the original Top Gun released in 1986, and it was a huge success, but also had a dramatic effect with the recruitment rates of the real-life Navy. I read an article on a website called ScreenRant.com. This was written in 21 and said, the action of Top Gun made life in the Navy seem glamorous. A high-octane parade of thrills and spills that could seduce any viewer. And as if to prove this point, the success of Top Gun, the original one, soon translated into a huge increase in real-life recruitment rates for the Navy. According to the U.S. Navy, the box office success of Top Gun saw their recruitment rates balloon by a massive 500% in the year following the original movie's release. So I didn't know this. The U.S. Navy actually set up recruiting stations in theaters, right? So as these young guys come out of the theater, they're signing them up, catching potential recruits as they left the cinema. And I guess that strategy paid off as the Navy soon had their highest numbers of applications in years. I got a feeling most of those guys wanted to be, you know, Maverick, and probably most of them didn't become Maverick, but at least it made them think about military service. Another reason why we sort of chose today for this movie and for our Biker Sunday is that today is 9/11. And 21 years ago today, the 9/11 attack on the U.S. happened. It was a terrible day, actually, in the history of our country. Almost 3,000 people lost their lives at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and on the planes as a result of terrorist attacks. But one of the positive outcomes is similar to Top Gun movie, was that there was a sense of patriotism, and the whole country sort of came together. I remember vividly the images of hundreds, if not thousands, of volunteers flooding Ground Zero, trying to help with relief and then later clean up. I remember, you remember this? I think this was at the World Series. President Bush walked out and threw the first pitch at one of the games of the World Series. And I remember it was a big deal because we were still a little shaky on what was going to happen next, and maybe there was another threat. And it was kind of a big deal for our president to walk out somewhat exposed in the middle of a World Series game and throw out the first pitch. And I remember people from all over stepped up to help and to serve. An article put out by ABC News stated that over 181,000 people enlisted in the military the year after the 9/11 attacks. I read a quote from a guy named Sergeant Bradley Atchison. He was one of those who decided to enlist in the military following the attacks. He said, "I'll never forget. It made me feel personally attacked because that's my nation. That's my country. And I just want to serve. I want to do something to respond and say that we can't let this happen. Army veteran Josh Rivak in a 2016 interview with the USO said, September 11th happened and I was single in a little apartment. I was 20 years old and I just felt like there was more. I should be doing more with my life. And by January, I was in basic training. Like, this profoundly impacted a lot of people. It was a similar reaction to what happened during the Pearl Harbor attack, when Americans were similarly distraught, and there was this huge wave of patriotism, and they were angered in equal measure over an unprovoked attack on U.S. military base in Hawaii. So one of the positive outcomes of a day like 9/11 is a renewed sense of patriotism and the attitude of service. I can remember, as we've lived in New Bern now for Bonnie and I, almost 14 years, or just over 14 years, but we've met many Marines, and when you ask them their story here, especially maybe, you know, 10 years or so ago, there are a lot of Marines who enlisted in the Marine Corps because of what happened on 9/11. And maybe that's your story, or maybe you know someone who that's their story. I think it's safe to say that people here were inspired to serve. Right? Maybe it was a movie. Maybe it was an attack on our country, but inspired to serve our country, serve each other. See, I think that that sense of service is instilled in us by God himself. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So Jesus, who is God in human form, right? God in the flesh, God incarnate, said that even he did not come to be served. You would think of any human being, right, that has ever lived, the Son of God, would have the platform by which everyone would bow to him and serve him. Like, we just heard of the passing of the Queen of England. Probably in our lifetime, no one sort of represents that more globally than the Queen of England. It's sort of a figurehead spot at this point. But she was there to serve the people, but the people certainly served her and her family. And she lived off of, she was a benefactor because of the people of England. But Jesus, even more so, deserved, right, to be served. But he said, "I didn't come to be served, I came to serve." And not only that, he said, "I came to give my life as a sacrifice." John chapter 13, Jesus gives his disciples sort of a visual on what they should do and what and who they should be. And this is the Passover meal just before Jesus went to the cross at Calvary. Jesus does something interesting. Actually, I said John chapter 14, but it's John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 12. Sorry, it is 14. Verse 12 says, "On the first day of the unleavened bread," I don't know where I am actually. Mark. It is Mark 14. Sorry, I wrote John. I'm in Mark. Am I supposed to be in John? Let me just read it from my notes. How about that? Says they got together. He's with some of his closest friends. They gather for what will be their last time together. Jesus loves them by serving them. He says, verse 12, "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place." He says, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" He washed their feet, and he says, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" He said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." See, I think Jordan alluded to that earlier when we were setting up for the song before the message. Jesus washed the disciples' feet, but more than that, he said, this is an example. Right? This is what it should look like to be a follower of mine. I don't lord it over people. I don't consider equality with God something to be grasped. I don't, Jesus saying, I don't think I came to be served, but to serve, and you should go and do it. He washed their feet, not just because their feet were dirty, but as an example for them. "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." See, Jesus' example is that of service. If we take our faith serious, then we have to conclude that we were created to serve. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So we're created in Christ. When we become a Christian, God creates in us something that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to partner with God to do. We're created in Christ to serve. Paul says to the church at Rome that at the end of our lives, when we face God, we will give an account. Romans 14:12 says, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Like, can you imagine standing before God and having to reckon with God? And reckon with our lives and what we have done. Think about the implications of that. One day, God will compare how much time and energy you spent on yourself compared with what you invested in others. Compared with what you were created to do in this world, right? In Christ, to serve. Imagine that, standing before God. Before the God of the universe, who knows all, sees all, everything is laid bare, right? There's no fudging with God. There's no making things seem a certain way with God. There's no excuses for our self-centeredness. That all sort of sounds hollow, right? I was too busy, or I had goals. I was preoccupied with working, having fun, preparing for retirement, fill in the blank, right? All our excuses, God will respond with something like this. Sorry, wrong answer. I created, I saved you, I called you to serve. What part did you not understand? The Bible says that you're only fully alive when you're helping others. Jesus said it like this: if you insist on saving your life, you're going to lose it. Mark chapter 8, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will actually save it. Only those who throw their wants and needs aside, only those who throw away their lives for the sake of the gospel will ever know what it means to really, truly, fully live. I like the scene in the Top Gun movie when Maverick is reporting to the Top Gun school, and the admiral says, thanks for having me back. And the admiral says, it's called orders, Maverick, right? Like, you didn't have a choice in that. You're in the Navy, and you were called here. You were ordered to come here. See, the great thing about serving God is we're not ordered or made to serve. We are held accountable, but we're not made to serve. We get to serve. We get to choose a life of service every day. If you're not serving, generally you're just existing. Because life is meant for ministry, for serving others. So what's our takeaway? I want us to ask ourselves a couple questions. Four quick questions. These are personal questions that you kind of have to kind of wrestle with as you think about your life of service. Like, is it just that I'm supposed to check a few boxes to make sure I can, when I greet God, I can be honest about the few things that I did? Or are we supposed to adopt and become servants? Like, are we supposed to allow that to be our identity? So if you're struggling, ask yourself a few questions. Is your heart struggling to love others? And if it is, then ask God for a heart transplant. Like, to change your heart. Psalm 51, verse 10 says, create in me a pure heart. In other words, change my heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Maybe it's time to let God create in you a servant's heart. Be open to him working, stretching, and changing your heart. And this may bring out some things that you need to address and work on, but it'll be worth it. Right, that's what you're created to do. He can change your heart, soften the edges, and teach you to love and serve others with kindness and compassion. So the first question is your heart struggling to love others? And if so, ask God for a heart transplant. Secondly, are you doing too much? Now, this is on the very practical side. If you really want to serve God more, then ask God to show you the best things. Not a bunch of things, just the best things. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." There are tons of things, even good things, that you can do with your time. There are bad things you can do with your time, right? So ask God to show you the best things, where you can serve, where you can really make a difference. Are you keeping things on your list because of appearances? Allow God to free up your time. Ask Him to show you each day what needs to be done and what can be set aside. Third question, are you living for yourself or are you living for others? Begin placing others first in your day-to-day. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." So God has created us to serve others. And so when we step into service, we're displaying God's grace. We are being good stewards. We're being good managers. We're being attentive to God's grace in our lives. And that will become obvious in our lives as we serve others. So think about the needs of others and how you can place them before your own needs. I mean, isn't that what Jesus did? Didn't he set aside everything just so he could serve us fully? When you see a struggling mom at a store with a couple kids and things are going haywire, lend a hand. Let her get in line before you. Does your neighbor need help with his lawn? Take the time to go mow for him. Do you see opportunities to serve maybe here at church? There are tons of opportunities to serve our children's ministry, our youth ministry, our coffee ministry, our small group ministry. There are tons of things that you can do to jump in and get involved. Do you see opportunities? Step into ministry. This week I went to the DMV. I actually, my motorcycle, I had not had it titled or tagged or whatever. It was beyond, I was behind. And I going to the license plate office is not one of my favorite things to do, right? Anybody like get up every day like, "Man, I'd really like to go to the license plate"? Nobody? So I decided to run by there, and as this is what always happens to me. Like every drive-through, every line in a grocery store, if I sort of see the line, and as I'm pulling in, typically 10 people go right in front of me. Like, does that happen to anybody else? Like, I'm on my way, I see the line, I'm getting ready to get in line, and like 3 or 4 people walk right in. And so I was pulling into the parking lot down here on News to the license plate office. And as I'm pulling in one entrance, I see a car coming in the other. And I'm aware of these things now because I'm, you know, smart guy. And I kind of speed up through this parking lot. I park my car real quick. I grab the stuff I need. I don't even think I had everything I needed. You know, I was just trying to get to the door first. And this lady walks up and I said, "That's not the right," you know, I became aware of myself, and I opened the door for her, and when she walked in, she was aware, and she said, kind of like, "You go ahead and go in front of me," and I was like, "No, it's fine." You know, like, we had a moment of nicety, which never happens at the license plate office, too, I'm sure, and we both, and then she took forever. Like, that's also what also happens to me. Like, another teller was open, and but she was still there when I left. I was like, "Man, I'm glad I didn't have to wait behind her." But what can you do to serve someone? It may be as simple as opening the door for someone, or helping somebody get their groceries in the door, or finding out here at Two Rivers, what can I do to serve? Step into ministry. Are you routinely only looking out for yourself, trying to get in line first? Or is your heart like Jesus' heart, putting others' needs in front of your own? And finally, who are you listening to? Right, we talk about that a lot here at church because there's so many influences. We have to learn to listen to God and do what He says, not what culture says, not what sometimes even our heart says, not what even our spouses say. We have to listen to God and do what He says. John chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus says, "Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant will also be." my Father will honor the one who serves me. See, our job is not to serve ourselves. Our job is to serve Jesus. And if we're really going to serve Jesus, then we're going to live like Jesus, and he was a servant to all. You see, I think God will honor those who serve Christ, especially when we serve Christ in the way that he served others. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And if we're serious about our faith, then we're going to follow Jesus' example as a servant of all. Listen to the Spirit's voice every day. Follow God's prompting and leading when going about your day. If you feel like you should stop and serve, then do it. In my life, as I have hopefully gotten wiser, I've certainly gotten older, I try to listen and not neglect when I hear that voice, that still small voice, or just that sense that maybe God's Spirit is moving me in a certain direction. If I think about something, this happens to me all the time. I think about somebody, I try to call them right then. You know what happens if I don't do it right then? I don't do it. Or when I think I should go walk across the street and say hi to my neighbors, or help my neighbor with something, or do something for someone at church, I don't believe that's just our conscience. I believe that's God's Spirit living in us and through us. I think we have to listen to that voice in us. Pray and ask God, then listen and do what he says. Jesus, just before he died on the cross, from the cross, in John chapter 19, he says, I'm thirsty. And at that moment, he shows his humanity, right? Here's Jesus at his weakest point physically, in his humanness. Jesus was the God, living God, and among us a man as well. And so in this moment, he really showed his humanity. He's on the cross. He's being tortured and killed, literally killed on the cross. And he just speaks out, I'm thirsty. And the Bible says that the Roman soldiers soaked a sponge in a jar full of wine vinegar and lifted it up to Jesus' lips. The sour wine was meant to relieve his thirst. As I think about that in my mind's eye, man, wouldn't you like to have been there and helped Jesus just have a cup of water? Wouldn't it have been such a great honor? I would have done anything to be able to reach out and help Jesus with a need in that moment. What a privilege and blessing it would have been to serve him in his, you know, most human state. The truth is that moment is long past. You can't help Jesus in that way. On the other hand, you can help those around you on behalf of Jesus. See, people everywhere are spiritually thirsty, searching for purpose and significance. They want to know what to do with their lives and if their lives have any meaning. People need to know that Jesus can quench their thirst much more than just a bit of sour wine vinegar on a sponge lifted up to him on the cross. And that's what people are looking for. Like when people hop from one thing to the next, and they can't find their place in this life, they're looking for Jesus to quench their thirst. And they need to know that he meets them in their depression and discouragement and despair. And Jesus says that when you serve others, you're actually serving him. So when you want to do something for Jesus, look for people around you who are in need. Jesus says, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Specifically talking about when you find someone who's hungry or thirsty. Whenever you give a drink to someone who's thirsty, you're giving it to Jesus. The same is true when you lead those who are spiritually thirsty to Jesus to be quenched. See, love in action is when you meet the needs of other people in their thirst, whether it's physical or emotional or especially spiritually. When we do that out of love for Christ, because he's the one who endured the thirst while he was on the cross for us. The only way you can serve God is by serving the people around us and helping others in his name. I am genuinely and truly thankful for the many men and women who've dedicated their lives to serving our country. And a day like today reminds me of how much I appreciate all of our military, not only our military, but their spouses, their families who made countless sacrifices to protect and serve our nation. I'm thankful for the first responders like Daniel, our own Maverick, right? Make a living by serving the needs of our community. The men and women who serve in law enforcement, those who serve as firefighters and EMS, right? Weren't they the first ones to arrive and go into the buildings on 9/11, and many of them sacrificed their lives? This time of year, I think about our teachers, administrators, support staff who serve our children, even our bus drivers, every day at our schools. And as great as all of these people are and how much we really appreciate them and what they mean to our lives, none of that compares to Jesus. He sacrificed his life. He became the servant to all so that we could be recreated to be like him. And what does he want from us? Just to love someone else, just to serve someone else in return. And that's really what today's about. God, give us a heart to serve the person next to us, to love people so that they might have the opportunity to love Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for just the opportunity we have today to think about and reflect, and thank you for our military. We thank you for those first responders. Lord, we do remember and reflect on 9/11 today a little bit, and Lord, we've come a long way, but it was profound for so many people in this country. It changed their lives. They chose a life of military service or first responding service. And Lord, it reminds us, their sacrifice reminds us of the greatest sacrifice, which is in your Son, Jesus. Lord, what I wouldn't do that I could stand at the foot of the cross and help quench Jesus' thirst. So Lord, help me to see that opportunity every day when I see the people around us, because Jesus said, when I feed those around me, when I bring water to those who are thirsty, it's not just helping them, it's serving Christ. So Lord, help me to see my life in that context of serving and loving and reaching out to others each and every day. Lord, help that to be who we are. And Lord, if that's not who we are, help to create new hearts in us that we might live and serve in this world. Lord, not for our glory, not for our praise, but that people might know Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.